Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky have a battle of Pinot Noir between California and Italy, as California has Parducci Small Lot Pinot Noir take on the Italian Monte degli Angeli Piedmont Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. It's exciting to be here.
It is exciting, isn't it? Because we are also joined by the Triple B. I know you were going to jump in, but I cut you off.
Yeah, I was just going to make some comments about lack of people storming the walls at your residence, so we feel rather safe here today.
How was DC this week, Scott?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. As a low blow.
It didn't look like you without your shirt on, but you do wear horns sometimes, so.
Not that kind.
Well, that's true.
I've got those mounted things.
Mounted things?
Yeah, they have magnets in my forehead.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not really.
No? You're not worried about that?
Well, you're walking past a junkyard and these nails fly up and get you in the forehead. It's... Mm.
You know, Darwin, if he was still alive, would have been watching all that and just shaking his head. You know, that's all I'm saying. It's just like, really?
Darwin really? Had a tick. Did you know that?
What?
He had a tick.
A tick?
Yeah. He didn't shake his head. He kind of twitched.
Oh, he twitched his head. Okay. Okay. I hear Donnie's doing that, too.
Do you think he meant like a tick in his hair on his body?
Yeah, that's... Well, I don't know. That's kind of scientifically unimportant, isn't it? If he actually had a tick. Like a deer tick or something like that.
It would be scientifically pretty important if he had a tick and he caught a disease.
That's true. Do you still put the stuff in the middle of your neck to prevent that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What do you put? Peppermint oil? Or what?
No, Frontline. Diseases.
Oh, God.
Ah, ha, ha. On tonight's show, folks.
Did you introduce me?
I did. I said the Triple B.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Go ahead. Just proceed.
Like... And tonight, joining us is the Triple B.
Thank you, Scott. That's the kind of intro I need.
Upbeat.
It's the Triple B.
I just want you all to know we're filming this at our normal bar in the basement, but since I broke my leg, I'm sitting in a wheelchair on the ground, and I just, my head doesn't even come up to the height of the bar, so I just don't want them to forget about me.
Well, if we were filming it, that would be true, but we are recording it instead.
I know. I said they can't see me, so I just feel, I want to make sure people know I'm here.
I can see you. I can see the top of your head.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah. But if we do this, no.
If we were doing the YouTube, they wouldn't be able to see very well.
That's right. True. That's true.
We'd have to have an unusual camera angle.
That's very true. On tonight's show, folks, you heard on the open that we are going to have a battle. Not the toughest battle in the world, probably more of a Ponzi battle, but nevertheless, a battle that the Pinophile would be proud of. On tonight's show, we are pitting two Pinot Noirs against each other simply because I felt like drinking Pinot Noir. However, This is a little unusual in the fact it's not...
That you want to drink Pinot Noir?
No, it's not California versus Oregon or California versus France or anything like that. It's actually Cali taking on Italy. That's right, an Italian Pinot Noir from Piedmont, nonetheless. So the Californian entrant is a classic value-priced winery. Yep. They're from the Medicina Wine Group that brings you such classics as Paul Dolan, and Sketchbook, and True Grit.
True Grit.
Yes, yes. This is, though,
dun, 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 dun,
Parducci. Parducci used to be a Fetzer, but now it's not because it's a small lot Pinot Noir from Medicina County.
Hmm.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Small lot?
A Fetzer.
Fetzer? It's not a flattering comment. They were the top shelf. Not saying that they were the best. Normally, you'd put the most expensive things on the shelf, second shelf down, eye line. The top shelf is the cheapest ship you have. So you'd have Fetzer, you would have Meridian, you'd have Turning Leaf. And you'd also have Parducci. That's the place to be. But now Parducci is kind of, it's in this wine, whatever you want to call it.
Renaissance.
A what?
A renaissance?
No. It's not a renaissance. No.
I'm not going to give them that much credit.
No. But
let's wait and see.
I know. But nevertheless, I am excited about this wine.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I bought it, though. But it's $12.99. It's cheap. The other wine, however, from Italy, from Piedmont particularly, is Monte delle Angeli Pinot Noir. Very interesting thing, and it's been reviewed by one of our favorite reviewers, so that's always exciting as well. And it's about $15.99 of your money. So we're going to have a battle. We're going to see which is best tonight, and we're just going to drink a lot of Pinot Noir. But we'll do that starting when we come back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, the first wine in the firing line, the Parducci Small Lot Pinot Noir from Medicino, which Scott previously pronounced Medicino.
Medicino.
And it's not.
Well.
A few facts. That's true. 14.5% alcohol. American and French oak, both. And it does have some reviews. And I'll just go ahead and read these. The first of the two reviews is a 90. And it's a 90 from the Wine Enthusiast. They were quite.
I thought I read reviews.
I know.
Did you forget I was down here?
No, I just didn't want to use the paper. The Wine Enthusiast, very enthusiastic. And they wrote, great acidity and lively red cherry and raspberry flavors light up this well-balanced and full-bodied wine. No.
What's the wine that we just drank that had the crazy cherry? It was like just a week or two ago. And like crazy cherry.
Yeah, it was a cherry bomb. It was Winte,
yep.
The River Ranch.
I feel like I have a little bit of like, as soon as I heard that, whatever the description was about lively cherry, I was a little bit like twitchy.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Light but firm tannins boost the mouthfeel and keep the impression fresh through the finish. It's a best buy. And then the other one.
Thank you. It's Wilfred Wong of wine.com. Yes, I gave this wine 90 of my points. I was very excited that day, and those sons of bitches, they took my diary out again, and they put it in the damn website, and I said, damn it, don't do that. I talk about all sorts of my emotions in there, and different things I've done and places I've been. And I don't want no one to know that. And they put it all out there. Oh, my God. Anyway, commentary. In a Cabernet-centric wine society, wine drinkers sometimes forget that one of Pinot Noir's best attributes is elegance. Like me, I'm elegant. The Parducci Small Lot has been exemplary. Is being exemplary in this respect. Me speak English. What the fuck? That 2000, apparently they didn't proofread my diary before they put it on the website. The 2018 vintage continues this trend. Then tasting notes. This wine is delicate. Apparently it's not full-bodied like the Wine Enthusiast said. Persistent and crisp. Enjoy is tasteful red. Enjoy is tasteful red and mineral notes with fresh salmon sushi hand rolls.
Becky, are you noticing that Wilfred Wong is sounding a lot like a Star Wars character?
I'm not
Enjoy
listening.
Is tasteful red. What is
I'm
that?
I don't even listen.
It's a Star Wars
line.
Ah.
And Wilfred's voice is.
A little bit Yoda.
A little bit.
What? Enjoy his taste. My God. Nice job, guys.
You know, say what you want about Parducci Small Lot, but, you know, 90s. The 17 got 90.
Mm-hmm. You know what's
the 90? 19 got 90. We're on the 18.
Yeah, and I think what he was trying to say was testicles in his it proofread to is. That's probably what it was. Something like that. Pannucci Small Lot testicles has been. I don't know. Just nice job.
What?
He's so talented. Anyway,
he is very talented.
He is.
Now I can zone back in.
Yeah, you zone out.
Yeah,
it's the highlight of my day.
Usually it takes James Suckling for you to zone out.
Well, wait for me. I'm coming later.
Promises.
I think it's incredibly offensive.
What?
The voice that you do for Wilford Wong.
Why? How do you know he doesn't sound exactly that way? You don't know that. How could that is such a neutral voice? It just sounds like he's insane.
It's a Star Wars voice.
It's not.
It is. It's a little. It's
Wilford. A little. Hi, I'm Wilford Wong.
He gives some bizarre reviews.
The penophile, yes. Fair. That is an offensive voice.
It is
voice.
Fair. I don't listen anymore to Wilford Wong's voice, so I don't really know what his reviews sound like anymore.
At least I'm accomplishing something.
But if Scott says that they're very bizarre, then I'll take his word for it.
And they always have been. I mean, it just...
And not well proofread either. Enjoy is tasteful.
Well, let's get
in the glass.
This. Let's get into this.
Cranberry.
This is Cali first.
Yes, cranberry hue.
Yeah.
Translucent.
It's a little bit brickish.
Yeah. As Pinot should be to a certain extent.
Yeah. It's pretty, I'm a little bit nervous drinking this, but it looks the part of a Pinot. It's a little bit translucent. You can see through it. You would probably guess a Pinot by looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if it wasn't, you'd be like, what the shit is this?
Yeah.
It's Fry Brothers Chardonnay.
I mean, it also looks kind of like...
What?
Weird communion wine. You know, like I've seen it look like this before. Haven't you?
No.
I love these glasses, though. Twirling it around in these glasses is...
The Riedel Extreme Pinot Noir. Scott, I could have bought you some of these, but you didn't want any.
I could sit down here on in this little tiny wheelchair and swirl it all day. It's very pretty.
On the nose, it smells of Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
A little funk.
Yeah.
There's a little funk.
Nice little funk.
Mint.
More funk than I expected, really.
I think more mint than funk.
Yeah, quite a bit of mint, actually.
Yeah,
slight menthol.
Menthol's where I was going to go.
I love the mint on this nose.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for mint. Lamb chop, lemon zest, mint. Bingo.
It's also not commonly found in wine, so it's like, oh, this is a nice.
Well, it's not commonly found in bad wine. How's that sound? It's normally more of an upscale.
It was an unexpected find.
Yes.
How's
upscale
that?
Funk?
Yes.
Upscale funk.
Slightly, yes. That's how I would put it in that category, yeah.
I'm going in.
And a bit of cherry cordial as well, folks.
How was this soaked? I forget.
American and French.
I could, you know, the first thing I'm going to comment on, I can see, not that I agree with it, but I can see the description as medium to full body. Because it has a texture that makes you think, okay, this is a little more full body. But it's got a nice mouthfeel. It's got a...
It's an oak manufactured mouthfeel.
I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But it's nice. It's
a stern oaking.
That mouthfeel pops in there in the mid-palate.
Yeah.
It has a nice little transition. You know, you're drawing air on it, and it's this lighter thing, and then all of a sudden you go through with tasting it, and boom, there's this mouthfeel that just pops up in the mid palate.
Yeah. Let me restate
it. It's really kind of nice.
I know, and it's $12.99.
That's granted. I'm a sucker for texture and mouthfeel and those kind of things in a wine, and I love the fact that it pops in there in the mid palate. It's like it gives you a physical sensation as you're tasting the wine, and I like wines that make me respond to them. This makes me respond to it.
And then we asked Becky what she feels. involving this wine?
To me, the American oaking is too harsh for this.
Mm-hmm.
It right before the finish, I get a little bit of a like taste in my mouth from the American oak.
I'm going to need a little more information on that. I know, sound just like there.
That's actually the technical term.
And so, when you said the physical reaction, like I also had a physical reaction. Like it just is like, ugh. I know it's a cheap wine. I know that it's going to have American oak because it's Californian and it's a cheap wine. But it just, I wonder how much better it would be if it was just French oak.
Well, let me say this. I would not think this was a cheap wine.
I wouldn't either. I would probably put it at least at 20. I don't know how much higher I would put it because I can tell it has American oak. But I wouldn't.
This one, this is a bit of a paradox, I suppose. It is better than some of the $20 offerings. Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them. The Rodney Strongs from Russian River and Sonoma Coast are better than this. A lot better. But
and
this is better than Jay. I ran out of ones. But no, this is better than most things you're going to find in this price range that aren't from Chile and named Apatagua.
There you go.
But
that's what I was going to say. What isn't this better than at $13?
It's true. If you're a fan of oak, you're going to enjoy this wine.
Well, and also I think
Becky is not a fan of oak.
But I think what you're talking about with the oak, you know, sometimes your first taste of something, you get that thing that jumps out to you, mm-hmm. and then that calms down a little bit for you.
Yeah, it does.
As you
it
get
does.
Drunker, yeah.
No, just as your palate adjusts.
Nah,
and it's the same thing with sticking your nose in a glass. Yeah. Sometimes there's one thing that jumps out at you, and then you need to take a
cleanse
break
out.
From it, cleanse mm-hmm. it out.
Yeah.
You know, a common way to do that, folks, is you just simply stick your forearm up and a little sniff of your own skin, mm-hmm. and it
like resets
that.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
What?
Something that I
you sniff your own skin?
Yep.
Yeah, just to cleanse your nose. Yeah.
Forearm or your upper arm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, I've never heard this before.
Just cleanse your nose out.
Where did you
Madeline Pocket?
Who? Madeline Pocket?
Wine Folly.
Oh. I didn't know this.
And it's a nice technique.
What if you smell bad?
Well, I didn't say your armpit.
It's kind of an odd-looking thing.
Don't snort a line of coke off your forearm.
Well, that's what I normally use my forearm for. What do you use it for?
So the other thing I would say about this wine is normally at this price point, you're getting a really sweet Pinot,
mm-hmm.
and this is not a sweet Pinot. So that is like another notch that I would give them, that they have tried to steer away from that. This isn't a sweet wine.
Mm-mm.
So that, you know, is a...
You've got
a point.
A nice, I think there's two semblances of cherry there. There's a touch of unripe or tart cherry.
Yeah.
Now maybe that's just some acidity from the oak that's overlaying the cherry. But then there's just a little, right at the front, there's a little bit of sweet cherry. Just a little bit. But it doesn't come across, as Becky was saying, as a shitty little
right.
cheap Pinot, like a lot of them do.
Well, that oaking that creates that very elegant mouthfeel, as mm-hmm. Wilford said.
Thank you.
He's right.
Now, enthusiast isn't. Well, no, they are in the fact that it's a heavier bodied wine. This isn't delicate, though, I wouldn't say. The flavors might be slightly, but the weight of the wine isn't particularly delicate.
No, I wouldn't say it's delicate as most Pinots are.
No,
mm-mm.
But I wouldn't.
Not, and I don't mean it negative either.
I wouldn't call it big or burly, and it's not full bodied, but it has that feel, that
the
mouth
weight,
feel that gives it,
yeah.
it just that
mm-hmm.
sense about it.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
This is good, folks.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I feel like it is, for sure, I would say, like, making the best of what you're being given. Like, with the grape stock
more.
That you're being given, really reaching your potential. I would definitely say that about this
one. This is really skillfully done.
Yeah.
I know you made a comment about the oaking, but, again, this is a $12 wine.
Yeah. That is fair. That's a fair comment. It has some, like, vanilla at the end, which is fine. It's not my favorite, but it's fine. Yeah, but I would say they made this wine very well.
Well, I believe they source grapes, which is obvious throughout Mendocino, but they do a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's anything of interest on the back of the label.
Would you be able to place this as a Cali Pinot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be able to get to a Mendocino?
No.
Where would you say?
If I would have to guess, Cali. I would guess like...
I would thought that too. I was thinking that I would say it's a Cali Pinot.
I guess like Monterey, just because...
Yeah,
it's good. It's cheap. If I knew it was good and it was cheap, I'd guess Monterey.
I don't. My palate is not attuned to. I mean, cabs. Yes, I can do that with cabs to a certain degree. Pinots, I can't.
I'd be just totally guessing.
Well, yeah. So many of them anymore are blend. I mean, now I could tell probably your triple play kind of things. Your Monterey, Sonoma, and what's the other thing that they throw in there? Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Those kinds, like the Jays and the Mayomis and things like that. Because those, I mean, those have a certain sense to them. And sometimes I guess Santa Barbara stuff could be a little more delicate, a little more acidic.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't think everyone is like that I've experienced. Yeah. But,
and it's not our thing either.
No, I think I would guess.
How many Pinots do we drink?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can tell you if it's French or Cali.
Hello.
What else was I going to say?
Or New Zealand.
Or
Chilean.
Honestly, this... Why wouldn't you buy this again?
That's true.
Why wouldn't you buy this again? Now, is this like something I'm going to stock and it's going to be my favorite? But...
The reason why you wouldn't buy this is because you could spend $3 more and get Apatagua. But
if you can find it.
Right, actually, if you can find it.
Actually,
but
you'd spend the exact same and get
Apatagua.
That's
the same, right.
But this is a perfectly fine wine
to
drink.
Mm-hmm.
And Pinot, just in general, this is what I was trying to remember. I had forgotten. Pinot in general is a more expensive wine to find quality. Usually, like, you're going to spend like $5, $10 more than a Zin, or $5 or $10 more than a cab.
Yeah.
So to find this kind of quality at that low of a price is pretty impressive.
Shocking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really is.
There's a lot of effort in the winemaking in this. And you would definitely mark this for a more expensive wine.
Our number, usually on Pinots, we say you expect to spend $20 to find something worth it for the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And I think before, when we've said, like, at what point would you be, like, disappointed? I feel like we've had some crappy $20 Pinots.
Oh, yeah.
It would be, like, the $30 range for me. That if you're spending $30 and it sucks, you would be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this to be less than half, that's, you know, really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Another comment I want to make on this, 100%, this is a level of wine where drinking out of a Pinot glass is going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. You should always... I mean, some of the others, okay, that's fine. But for Pinot, you've got to drink it out of a Pinot-specific glass.
Particularly something that you're trying to differentiate. This is better than other crappy ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I couldn't imagine drinking this out of a standard glass. It would be such a defeat.
And part defeat it.
Part of the enjoyment of a Pinot is drinking it out of a Pinot glass.
They're so pretty.
Yeah. And it's such an enjoyment.
The only other thing that I don't think we've touched on is there are some small tannins at the end.
Slightly tannic.
Yeah. It's not, you know, big tannins, anything like that. But to have that, for me, it's on the finish, is really nice. And again, something that you wouldn't really expect at the $12 level.
You wouldn't expect it at all.
It's also got some sulfites.
You can pinch it. I don't see it.
I can feel I can feel my ears being hot.
I think it's like back here, kind of on your temples right now.
Yeah, a little bit of sulfite.
Because I took a shower tonight.
That's true. You're a little sulfite. Yeah.
A
slight severe sulfite reaction. That's all right.
I'm
going to still drink it, though.
I did have the feeling that if you drank a bottle of this wine, you would hate your life the next day.
You think so?
I've thought that many times. I thought I drank a whole bottle of Skyside Cabernet, by the way. I drank a whole bottle last night. And by the way, Skyside Newton Cellars, tip of the cap.
Hey, I thought we were doing that on the show.
Nah, I'm sorry.
We are. I'm just drinking. He's going to go buy more.
I know. I did buy more today.
But you can't.
But I'm going to buy as much as I can find of that. I like it a lot. Mm.
Skyside.
Yes. And by the way, yeah, we will do it on the show, but it's really good. Maybe just that bottle, but it's really good. And you know what it's really good with? Filet with blue cheese on top.
That's, yeah.
No, no. You don't understand. It's really good with that.
Nice.
No, 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 no. You don't understand, Scott. It's not as good as, though, like our Rodney Strongs that we like and stuff like that. But as a little bit of a find, $20, although I paid 12. Hell. You do that all day, folks. $20, go out and buy Skyside Cabernet.
North Coast.
Yes, it's lonely on the shelf. And it has a nice looking label.
Skyside, are you lonely?
It's very lonely. It needs some purchasing because nobody's buying it. Buy it. Buy Skyside.
Do you need some blue cheese?
It's a beautiful label, too. It's beautiful. It's gold, and it's red, and it's beautiful.
Nah, we usually mock those kind of labels.
We need to move on because he'll talk about this wine all night.
I will.
Well, he's like
talked
that.
About it all night last night.
I was drunk on yes. Newton Skyside. Well, it's Skyside. So, folks, we're going to take a break because then we're going to come back with the Italiano Pinot Noir here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the second Pinot in the battle. This is Monte degli Angeli, the Pinot Noir from Piedmont. Unusual that you find a Pinot Noir in Italy. I mean, obviously, they do that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. But nevertheless, it is unusual. So, if you find these kind of things, try them. I always like to find the varietal that just doesn't belong.
One grown in a place just doesn't belong here.
That you don't normally associate with them.
None of these things are kind of the same.
Like some of the Pinots we've done on the Med have been really interesting,
yeah.
Fresh and vibrant, yeah. And acidic.
You know, being stereotypical, we thought that Cali wouldn't have a chance in this battle of Pinots. Yeah. I think Italy has a stern test before it.
Well, so far Cali is representing itself quite well. Far better than it has in the past.
Far better than I expected it to.
That's true. Now, this wine, obviously 100% Pinot Noir. I don't have any oaking information on this wine whatsoever. If it did, it probably seems Italian. It's probably Croatian, Hungarian oak, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But it does have one review. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Thank you very much. This is James Suckling. I did have a chance to review the...
Do you hear my sigh?
I don't give a shit. You keep your mouth shut down there in your wheelchair. You know how you got into that. Anyway, the Monte degli Angeli Pinot Noir from Piedmont. By the way, Scott, did you know I live in Tuscany?
Allegedly.
I don't want you to know my address.
Nobody wants to know your address, James.
Why? Why not? I don't want you to find it out. I would hate that. I don't want
Nobody's going to mail you. Nobody's going to visit you.
I don't want someone to stalk me. I don't want it. I just want attention is what I want. I want anyone to notice me.
Tim?
Timmy, yes. Apparently, Monte Deli, they did. They got very excited because they put my review on their website because you can find it anywhere else unless you're on Reddit or one of those different...
Reddit?
Oh, yes, Reddit. Sorry. I meant... No. I'm on a different one. Not on Reddit. I'm on Reddit. It's not as popular.
Can't imagine why.
Is there a different one? Oh, that's unusual. R-E-E-D-I-T. That's what I'm on. I understand there's something that's more popular. It's okay. Nevertheless, I provided this wine, of course, 92 of my points, and I wrote... A refined textured Pinot Noir that shows real Pinot character with strawberries, walnuts, and smoked wood. I love smoked wood.
It's, I know. I'm like, smoked wood, isn't that like oaking? I don't know.
It's smoked wood. It's medium to full-bodied, somewhere in there, with polished tannins and a flavorful finish, just like me. Just ask Tim.
Jesus.
I
know. Something that is interesting in the tasting notes you provided.
I thought it was interesting what I wrote.
Is that it says fruity notes of cherry, strawberry, raspberry, and ripe tomato.
Ripe tomato. That's not unusual. Sun-dried tomato. We often find that.
But it doesn't say sun-dried tomatoes. It says ripe tomatoes.
What kind of? Oh, you know what? For the football game tomorrow, I will make heirloom tomatoes and mozzarella. I bought a shit ton of heirloom tomatoes. I probably spent $30 on heirloom tomatoes.
Wow.
Yes. So
the reason why I was calling out ripe tomatoes is that to me means vegetable.
No.
But I don't think it is in this sense.
No, I think it's more along the lines of like savory fruit.
Yes, usually. Yes. And tomato is a fruit. So,
but
there's that.
You know, we should probably research on that and make sure we're accurate on where that
it tastes of celery and cauliflower
and what that's from.
By the way, folks, cauliflower.
Because you could be right. It could be from the same family of chemicals that produce that green vegetable thing.
Well, I don't know.
It would be unusual
for this place, but who knows?
By the way, folks, skip the cauliflower rice at Chipotle. It tastes like butt.
It's very cauliflower-y.
And it tastes like butt.
I think I found the technique for that cauliflower crust from Aldi's. Oh. It's fantastic.
It ain't their technique, whatever that is. Let's put some snot in there.
Stop.
Cauliflower flavored snot.
Sometimes you can have something that's talk about cauliflower.
The rice
or the pizza.
The rice.
Sometimes when you have something that's cauliflower-y, it's just a part of it. But this was like strong.
And it wasn't ricey. It tasted like snot.
Well, it's got... You have to dry it. There has to be something that dries when you rice cauliflower.
They sure didn't.
Yeah.
It you got to get the moisture out of it.
No. It was watery. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
There are a few things that I can't eat. That's one of them. It's nasty.
It was disappointing.
It's like, I mean, you know what I said to myself? Obviously, they've had this taste tested, and obviously, it went through review boards to get to the actual restaurant. Apparently, I was wrong.
It was surprising. I like the taste of cauliflower isn't off-putting to me, but it was pretty strong.
Yeah. That's how I psyched myself up to eating it. Certainly, this has been approved, and someone said it's really good.
And I only gave it to you.
Chipotle doesn't usually miss the boat.
They fucked it up the butt on that one. That tastes like shit.
Maybe it was a local application, and they didn't prep it or store it properly.
Did they take a shit on it?
Stop. Okay, let's.
We warmed it up by sitting on it. Okay, that's great.
Mm. The nose is sweet.
And in the glass, it's appreciably darker.
It's significantly darker. This is dark enough that you might question that it's Pinot.
Yeah, I could see you saying it's a Zin, like us saying it's a Zin or something else.
It's the right coloration, though. It's still cranberry.
Yeah.
It's just not as translucent.
Yeah.
But it's pretty dark.
It's got a little purplish hue to it as well. But
it also has some crystalline
a little bit of sediment, but not too bad.
Some acidity.
How much was this one?
$15.99. This is the 19 vintage too, fresh off the boat.
Fresh off the boat.
On the nose, though, as Triple B started there.
Yeah, it's sweeter.
Blackberry. Yeah, simpler and sweeter. Mm-hmm.
Does not have the funk.
Yeah. No mint.
Not really any oaking or menthol either.
Oh my God. It's got actually a bubblicious grape nose.
It's a sweet nose.
It's a Concord grape and blackberry.
I would go cherry.
I don't think so.
Bubblicious.
I'm just gonna smell the Parducci instead. That's much more wine proper. It's a better nose.
No, this nose is lovely. I tasted it.
And this nose is really subdued, too. It's what we're pulling out of there. You kind of have to pull it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a really subdued out of there. Your nose is in there to
find it. But it's a Concord grape sweet, yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would. It doesn't catch it every time. Only a few times have I smelled it, but I have. All right. Here we go. doesn't taste like the nose. It's drier than hell. Oh, and it's tannic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big wine.
This is the...
Weighty-wise.
Yeah, this is the opposite of what you'd expect from Italian wines. Typically, you know, they can be a little more lightish, lighter. You know, you're not always... You know, yeah, if you're getting a Super Tuscan, you're getting a full-bodied, big-bodied wine. Sure. But just your typical Sangio or even... Our friends, the Zins that come from there, that we love so well. They're mm-hmm. lighter bodied yes. compared to Cali. This is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably one of the bigger bodied Pinots I've ever had in my life. And I'll just
but it's it. Unusual in many ways. One thing I'll say about this wine, we had a little garage band thing going on there, so we had to take a pause there briefly. It has, my question is, if they're in Italy, they have obviously drank Nebbiolo, and they understand the delicacy of Pinot. The delicacy of Pinot-like things. They're not too far from Burgundy. They've had these things that are delicate and elegant. This wine tastes very good. If someone asked me, what is it?
I wouldn't say Pinot.
No. Never.
I wouldn't say Pinot.
No, I might look Becky? At it and say Pinot, but I'd say Syrah.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar to that. I was going to say, convince me that this is a Pinot.
It tastes like a very good Syrah. It tastes like Syrah. If I'm blind tasting it, I'm saying Syrah all day long.
Especially Why? Due to the hue of the of well, it in your glass.
First of all, the weight, the flavor profile.
The tannins are pretty strong for a Pinot.
True, too.
Yeah.
A little bit of tar on the mid to late palate. I would say this is a Cali Syrah.
I'm furrowing my brow.
Try it again. I like this wine, though.
Something that I keep thinking about is this wine doesn't have a lot. Like, I can't pick out five different flavors through it. Mm-mm. It's dry. It's tannic. It has a nice mouthfeel. And I was just thinking it's like... you might see people, like, you go somewhere fancy and people are wearing, like, really jazzy clothes.
Yeah.
And then you see someone in a really nice tailored suit and they're immediately, it's just totally plain black, you know, black suit, white shirt, and they're immediately the best dressed in the room. That's what this wine is to me. Like, it has zero frills.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh, wow, it's this journey through cherry and strawberry and minerality. Yeah. It's not that at all, but it's very, very elegant.
Elegant.
Well,
I would say that it has a nice mouthfeel, Rob.
I'll agree
it's
with that.
It's dry
I'll go
and
there.
Tannic, but I would still call this an
I'll
elegant
I'll tell you why
wine.
I say elegant. This has a sneaky finish on you. Just focus on the finish and what it does and goes about. It kind of has a little roundabout and back kind of finish, and that's elegant to me. And what I'm saying by that is that finish goes different places. It kind of has a stage where you think it's going away, and then all of a sudden the astringency kicks in on the roof of your mouth, and that finish just kind of picks back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I know. I like this wine a lot. I think it tastes great. Actually, I like everything about it. I love the tannins on the finish. I love that there's a streak of oak on the mid-palate that lines up with minerality, and it really opens and sinks. It just doesn't taste like Pinot.
Not at all.
It tastes like a Syrah to me.
Yeah.
It tastes like a really good Syrah that I would drink again. Mm-hmm. You know? And again. And again. I would drink this over and over again. This would be a four-bottle night for me. You know?
All right, superstar.
Yeah, but I mean, but it doesn't taste like Pinot. It doesn't taste anything like Pinot. At all. I actually want to check the label and make sure they didn't put the wrong damn label on the wrong damn bottle. It doesn't look like Pinot. It doesn't taste like Pinot. It doesn't feel like Pinot.
I know. I almost feel like we need to get another bottle.
Unripe blackberry on the front palate. That's yep. Syrah.
Okay.
Through the mid palate.
It's very full bodied for a Pinot, too. It's yeah. very full bodied.
And it's
Pinot.
Grippy.
Yeah. Yeah, the tannins are. Hell, I'd call them drippy. This thing reeks of tannins. Mm hmm.
And it has a decent finish on it, too.
I love the finish.
Okay. Mid-palate, it does get a little Pinot-esque.
That's the only spot.
In that slight off-kilter sour cherry.
Yep, that's the only spot.
But you know what? You give me a big, ugly, charred piece of meat.
Brisket.
Yeah. Or a ribeye. A really nice, charred ribeye. You're not saying that for Pinot. You don't do that with Pinot, but you do it with this one. That's because this doesn't taste like fucking Pinot.
It doesn't.
No, they're Italian. So the man said, we do what we want. Fuck it. Fuck the Americans. Fuck the French. Fuck them.
Or could be just this is what it is there.
It could be.
Could be the vintage.
I've never had another Italian Pinot.
Well, yeah, so you could oak this differently, right? You could oak this differently, but I don't think that would significantly change what this is. It would change how the oak comes across. You could not oak it, but that's not going to change the body in this appreciably. This is going to be a bigger wine no matter what. I think it's
a refined textured Pinot that shows real Pinot character with strawberries.
Don't get the strawberries.
I smoked wood, yes. I wonder though, because I've had some French Burgundies. Some, but not on the high-end level. Not had that privilege to do. I wonder if high-end Burgundy emulates this a little bit. Well, no, this emulates that a little bit. I don't know, Scott. I've never had it. I've never had a $300 Burgundy. James Suckling has.
But
that's the question.
Aren't they supposed to be lighter in texture, lighter in body?
I don't know. Never had. I mean, I've never had a $400 Burgundy before.
Right.
I don't know what that. I mean, I know what a $75 Burgundy tastes like, which is no different than a $30 Burgundy, really, or a $20 Burgundy. But and those tend to be more down that trough that you're saying. But I don't know that. But that's the only thing I've got. This doesn't taste like anything from New Zealand, California, Chile, Oregon, California. It doesn't taste like any of those things.
No.
Or anything that I have had in France.
Or
on the Med.
So this isn't in the wheelhouse of Pinots.
Pinot.
But in a good way.
It might taste like a Czechoslovakian Pinot. I never had one of those, but I mean, you know. But I mean, James has been to some strange places.
When I was in Thailand, I'm not supposed to talk about that.
You know,
did you know you can get a whole lobster for $5? And then, if you go down a couple back alleys, and
no, James, stop, knock, James.
You knock five James, times.
The attorneys have talked to us about this. You're not supposed to bring it up anymore.
It's a foreign country. I don't know what your problem is. You're so uptight. Anyway. Yes.
Bad man. You, sir, are a bad man.
And you. Tell them that your name is Raimondo. Oh, it's a wonderful experience. I don't want to spoil it for you. I wouldn't spoil it for Tim. He was there too.
So you enjoy being beaten with a mallet in an alley in Thailand?
That was after I left, and it doesn't matter. I held my own quite well on the way back after I got up out of the alley. But they took my wallet. It was not funny.
So fair to say.
And my shoes.
Fair to say that this Pinot doesn't necessarily demonstrate varietal characteristics, but in a good way.
No, I like Pinot.
We like Pinot, but this is not very demonstrating Pinot characteristics.
No, it tastes like Syrah.
I think. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Like an Italian cab. Except those are usually more lighter in body than this.
Well, I mean, depends on.
Would you call this completely full-bodied?
No.
But it's right there.
I don't know.
You know, on our scale where like 7's full-bodied, this is 6.8.
I need to drink more to figure it out. Just put a little more in my glass. It's windy down here and I could blow away. Let me just swirl it around and I'll taste it again. I'll tell you.
Yeah, so. You're so generous. It's, you know, taking one for the team.
I'm a giver.
It is very
Yeah, you're
kind
a giver,
of you.
All right.
You know, yes, by the way, 6.8 is correct.
It's right there being full bodied.
This is the thing. There are little winks and nods to Pinot on the front palate, but they get so muzzled by all that Syrah that actually is in the wine. There's winks and nods. This would be like...
it's almost full-blown leather. I wouldn't call it tar. I'd call it leather, like saddle leather.
Yeah, yeah. Some dude that's really into bench pressing and things like that, this would be their version of Pinot. Yo, bro, your Pinot's weak, bro.
No.
Do you even have tannin, bro? Man. Bro?
Bro man Pinot.
Yeah, it is. It's the Brodozer Pinot, man.
You're forgetting the
yeah, bro.
Italian linguistic edition. Wow. Vinny.
Yo, bro. Do you even bench, bro? Bro. Your clothes aren't fresh, bro.
What do you mean, man?
Yeah. It's good turnt, bro. That's the way I speak to my 7-year-old son, because that's really how he is, but he's such a gooch. No, he's not.
Except he's a bro. You to bench with him because he's the man of the house.
No.
Yes.
He really isn't.
Henry is a tough dude.
Really. Lukey is far tougher. Both those two pansies scream for their littlest brother to come
in
and fight.
They do yell for Luke. They were fighting their dad the other night, and they were like, Luke, get in here.
Yeah, because they couldn't handle me.
Luke brings a chair in, though.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. We were having... I go upstairs, and this was earlier this week, and we heard all sorts of ruckus. I opened the door, and they had Carl Douglas's Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting playing on Alexa. And all three of them, it was Scott. It looked like a battle royale. I mean, seriously, they were throwing stuff, fighting. And you see a five, a seven, and a two-year-old just throwing down enthusiastically. And I walk in, and Lukey goes, no, because he thought I was going to bed. And I shut the door and went, you're fighting without me? And then he's like, ah! And then immediately William goes, I'm on dad's team. And so then it was a rumble.
Smartest kid we have is tag. William.
Well, yeah, I know. But William then feels I'm empowered and I'm going to fight Henry. Goes pretty well. He can take on Henry pretty well. But the one he can't was Luke. Luke the other night had a sword. And William, and he was fighting William, and Luke had a rubber sword, one of those rubber swords. And Luke is like, ha, ha. And William was trying to find any weapon to try to counter him. So I look over. William has a book. Ha! Trying to protect himself. Didn't matter. Then he picks up like this foam cushion, throws it at Luke. Didn't matter. He was just trying to battle. And then William is standing there, not paying attention, and Luke picks up a puzzle box, lifts it over his head, wham!
Yeah, Luke doesn't care.
Clubs William over the back. William goes down and just looks
up.
A
cardboard puzzle box? A wooden puzzle box?
No, it's cardboard, but okay. It was filled with the puzzle. And then he's throwing books. And he picked up a metal chair and hit me in the back with a metal chair.
Now, well, you deserve it.
I didn't see it coming. Henry did. And
exactly.
And Henry tries to leap. He goes, no way, Luke. No, no, no. And I see Henry coming at me with his hand out trying to stop it. But he didn't. Yeah, I still got hit.
Get down.
Yeah. It was a hell of a fight. Hell of a fight. Payne Brothers won, though. That's William and I.
The Payne Brothers?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Henry tends to get hurt.
Let's just look at the scoreboard here. So you needed help from your 5-year-old to take on the 7-year-old and the 2-year-old.
He really does get terrifying if I have to fight all three of them. I can, but I have to use force that's probably illegal to use on your children to win. I have to incapacitate one of them, and normally that's Henry. So I have to physically hurt Henry, not because I want to, because I have to protect myself. Because I have to focus on the two smaller ones. That's how it works. You know?
Somewhere.
You don't know. You haven't been in that room.
Across.
You go in that room, Scott, you're not coming out unless you fight like a man. It's all
well, fine. If I go in the room, I'm putting on a class to tell them how to destroy you.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be my goal.
Well, yeah, Luke says pick up a chair. Pick up anything that isn't nailed down and throw it.
I'm going to teach him how to throw it more effectively and more accurately.
That's true. Luke, whenever he's not doing well in the fight, like taking somebody out with his hands, that's when he resorts to weapons. But that's okay. And he goes, destroy. That's what Luke says. Destroy. And when he gets knocked down, he starts growling and getting angrier and angrier. It's a little terrifying.
The growling is a little concern.
Yeah, we were in Kroger's the other day. Lukey had his mask on, Henry had his mask on, and Lukey was growling with his mask on just for fun.
If he continues to growl at 4, that might be time to be concerned.
William did.
All right, let's go to commercial break.
We will. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, folks, we are going to provide the scores for these wines. The Monte degli Angeli and the Parducci Smollett Pinot Noir. I don't know that Monte degli is a Pinot Noir, but that's okay.
I think it is.
Italy is representing itself quite well here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the reviews. Who has the better Pinot tonight, California or Italy?
It's honestly difficult to compare them.
What is?
They're very, very different.
Well, compare the Monte degli Angeli to
Syrah. I
think
we just have to score them individually.
We are going to. How else would you do that?
Make the score. Don't think about the comparison.
Do we declare a winner?
Yes, we will.
The scores.
I will declare a winner, yes. We're going to start off with the Parducci, since we drank that first. I'm going to go over to the Triple B. I'm going to get a numerical score from her. It's going to be accurate. It's going to be honest. And it's going to be somewhat Eastern Bloc.
Okay.
By the way, Becky, the last couple episodes, I have not utilized the Russian music because you have not been Russian,
well,
which is a little disappointing to me.
So I definitely think that this wine drinks like it's $10 more expensive, yeah, which is basically double the price point that it is. The American oaking is not my favorite thing, but I feel like it's a simple Pinot. It's not sweet, which is major tip of the cap for not doing cheap and sweet, because we've had that 1,000 times. So just major congratulations on that. I'm giving this an 86, and I mean that with a lot of love. That is a very high 86. They did the most they could with their grape stock.
I'm okay with that.
Because I can play the Russian, you can play the Russian music.
That, and I guessed your score. Over to Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I like the Parducci for, I'm between 87 and 88. I'm going to give it the 88. I don't know why. I'm giving it the 88. Because
it tastes like Pinot.
Well, not just that. It's really well done.
It is well done.
The Parducci, tip of the cap for $13.
Slow. No. You don't get a tip of the cap.
They get a tip of the cap.
No, they do not.
They do.
No tip of the cap. I'm the one that has the cap to tip. You're not even wearing a hat.
That's okay. I'm tipping my cap. It might be at home. Yeah.
You wave your fedora. How's that?
I might have a snow cap out in the car. Okay. In my pocket, actually. You might. My jacket.
You might.
It's 26 degrees here in Central High tonight, folks. Uh-huh. No, tip of the cap. It's really well done. They did a good job. The oaking, I think for a $13 bottle, it's fantastic. Is it up a tog on? No.
No.
But it's not a number starting with a 90. But like I said, it was between 87 and 88. And if I was going to score on a digital scale, I would go 87.7. But I'm giving it the 88. I'm rounding up.
On a digital scale? Okay.
Yeah, you know, a digital scale where you're like, you put your brain waves into a digital scale and it went, it would go 87.7.
How did it go again? That's great.
Can we go back to Becky's sounds she made earlier? I would really like to revisit that. No, stop. I want to hear her do it. Stop. What did that need? We need a name for that.
It's dying and barfing at the same time.
No. That's a very live sound.
Yeah, I think it's me gagging. Yeah.
Or is it like a dolphin sound? It is kind of like a dolphin sound.
No, that's me gagging.
Yeah, it's not.
That's American oak hitting my palate and me being like,
mm-hmm. See, gagging, I'm more like. That's gagging to
me. That sounds a little bit different than that. But I don't know what that sounds like, but I know James and Tim could tell you. So,
how?
I'm going to provide this wine 88 of my points as well.
Oh, my God, I'm so off.
Because it tastes of Pinot. The oak is a little excessive. If you dot it back just a little bit, it might be better. It's still getting 88, though. 88 is top of the mark. Unfortunately, Becky is not necessarily as Russian as she should be. But I thought she would hate it a lot more because of the oak. The oak is a little...
What did you guys put for scores?
And we're not done yet. We have to go through the Italian.
That's true.
That's not, we can't do what...
Let's get all the way through.
So
we don't want to know who's in the lead and who's not in the scores of integrity. We've missed a couple episodes of the scores of integrity. Before we taste the wine, we put down predictions on the scores for our peers. And we refer to the scores of integrity. And in theory... The winner of Scores of Integrity holds the key vote on a wine making ascension into the Budget Hall of Fame or the Hall of Fame if there's a deadlock. We've never had that point yet.
Or the Shelf of Distinction.
I'm way ahead, by the way, in the Scores of Integrity.
Oh, I don't. Nobody's keeping track.
I've been keeping track.
Well, then you're a douche. So, the Monte delle Angeli. And Angeli is spelled A-N-G-E-L-I, in case you wanted to know. I'm sure you don't. We're going to go over to the Triple B, the Angeli, which doesn't taste like Pinot Noir.
Yeah, I think that makes it a little bit challenging to score because...
Oh, I didn't do too well in the Angeli. I'm looking at what I guessed.
Well, it just is difficult to score because it's not necessarily true to its varietal character.
Yeah, so do you knock it off or not? Do you knock it down for that or not?
But do the Italians, right? Have the Italians ever tasted...
Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
I felt the same way.
But if it were Californian,
I'm giving my review.
I'm sorry.
If the Californian what?
You would know what?
If it was a Californian that didn't taste proper, then you know that they tried to... it was fuckery. The Italians... You know, they might have been busy having, you know, lunch. Or that they say,
so,
this is what Pinot tastes like. Fuck you.
That's Hank's voice. You did Hank's voice. He's not Italian.
Hank has been to Italy before.
Okay, but he's not Italian.
Yes, but he's been to Italy before. And when he was there, he said, fuck you.
Let's take a break and get to Becky's score.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please. So that's where my struggle was on the score. Where I wouldn't.
I get it.
Yeah, where I wouldn't necessarily know. It's dry and tannic, which are two things that I love, mm-hmm. love in a wine.
Ding, ding, ding.
Not necessarily true of Pinot, but I really liked it.
I think
this is an elegant drink. I know that you didn't necessarily agree with that, Rob.
He's wrong. He's wrong.
But Scott and I both found this to be an elegant drink, something I really enjoy. I would be very interested to have this with food and see how it holds up.
What would you pair it with?
I would like it with food.
I was trying to decide. On the tasting notes, it said braised lamb.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. My lamb chops
I don't really like lamb. I don't like to eat lamb, but that's what I would probably pair it with. I think it would be a really interesting pairing.
I'll get some lamb.
Brother, would she like my lamb chops?
I've tasted them before.
Yeah.
I just have like moral issues with eating lamb.
No, I thought you had moral issues with veal.
Same.
They're both baby animals, you dipshit.
No, lamb is a full... veal is a baby animal.
So is lamb. It's lamb. It's called lamb.
But
lamb
it's not a baby.
There's
it's
a sheep, sheep and a baby sheep is a lamb, dipshit. Go.
So anyways.
It's as if it was dog or puppy. If you were in Korea eating dog, but it was called puppy, then you knew you're a fucking puppy.
Can I finish my review?
Go ahead. You don't know the difference between cat and kitten. We figured that out today.
Have you ever bought sheep meat before?
Old ass cat.
Have you ever bought sheep meat
mutton.
Before?
It's called mutton, you twit.
That's different. That's an aged meat that is
eaten mutton.
Way past the point of
I've eaten mutton before. Ooh. Go ahead. Thank you. Scott's rude.
Okay. So, I struggled a lot between giving this an 87 or an 88 because it isn't necessarily true to Pinot character.
No.
However, I kind of love the Italian attitude of like, we don't care. We're making this wine and it's good.
They don't care, do they?
I'm here for that. So I am going to give it an 88.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I kind of talked myself into that through the lifespan of my review that took forever because of your sheep land conversation.
I'm between
rock and a hard place.
Two scores here.
Yeah.
Are they next to each other? Because
so
if they weren't, it'd be
low,
awkward.
It balances that out.
I'm between an 88 and 89.
You know you like it a lot.
I do like it a lot, but
I'm
going with the 88.
I'm trying to talk you into a higher score because that's probably
I
what
do
you wrote down.
Think, and so I'm going to go straight on the record. I prefer this to the Parducci, but it is not typical of varietal. But I love this wine. But is it an 89? I don't know. And if I would go to my digital scale, go beep 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 beep, beep, go 88.2. But it gets an 88.
Yeah,
that's my score.
Wow. And I am providing this wine 87 of my points. And the reason why
you're
is,
just trying to win the score
you're
of
Russian.
Integrity.
No, first of all, it's tasty. I just enjoy it. But it does not taste like Pinot, but it tastes so nice. It's one of the better Syrahs I've had in a long time. It has to get something for that. What are you going to do, give it an 84? No, I would buy it. I would drink it. I would drink it all the time, but it doesn't taste like Pinot. So what do you do with a wine like that?
Yeah, but you don't knock it down.
I didn't knock
much.
It down. I put it up. Still, though, this wine is so tasty that it's only an 8. Hey, even if it tasted of Pinot, there's a limit here. This is not a 90-point wine.
No.
James Suckling can go.
Neither of these are 90-point wines.
No. But when I have that, I have the Parducci there, and I have this. I keep going back to the Montedeli because I enjoy to drink it more, even though it doesn't taste of Pinot.
So you're violating your own rule there, son.
What?
You usually compare two wines, and you've always said, how can I score this one lower than the other one because I like it better?
Well, one tastes like Pinot, and it's a Pinot.
I agree.
And I don't dislike it.
So how many points did you take off for it not being as true to its varietal character? I did not take any points off. Okay, maybe a half point for not being its
maybe
varietal character.
You put it in your digital thing and it went...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you have to think about that. But I like the thing that it's doesn't display varietal character, I like a lot.
This is the thing, Scott.
Do you agree or disagree?
First of all, we understand. We have discussed this before. You and I do not calculate like Becky does, where she actually, you know, gets out her fingers and toes and adds up numbers. Something just speaks to you.
Well, there's that.
And this wine said 87. The other wine was very close to 87 as well. I gave it one tick up simply because of the fact that it is daring. And it does taste
daring.
Of,
it's not
yes.
daring.
Oh, you said daring. I thought you said dairy, and I was like, I don't know that I got
Scott.
That.
I think the use of oak on the Parducci is daring.
Oh, okay.
At that price,
I'll give
range.
You that. No, I'll give you that. I get it. I get what you're
and
saying about
stylistically,
daring.
Stylistically, I think,
and they did it really, really. They nailed
I'm
it.
I'm also accounting the fact that I enjoy this more, but it speaks to me more. It doesn't mean that it has higher merit. My enjoyment does not factor in. This is a better wine, theoretically, in the world of Pinot. And people that were more of a fan of oak than I would find this vastly better.
This is the first time in a long time you haven't sounded like dum-dum when you've talked about wine. You took your own personal enjoyment out of it.
Well, no, you
God
always
bless
need
you.
To do that.
No, not Not really, not so much.
Scott, Skyside, I love Skyside.
For sure.
But it's an 87, 88 all day long.
For sure.
Not what we'll have on the show.
You can't.
As I drink all the bottles before we
You
do,
can't but. Score your face.
You can't do that. That does not come into play.
No, you have to score it for what it is, and you can't score it because of price point either.
No, unless it's Elewhon, then you do. No, you don't.
I still think you're scoring a little low.
Which? This?
Yep.
I scored it one point lower than your dumb ass, and you say I'm scoring it low?
Yep, because I felt like I scored it a little low.
No, this doesn't deserve.
Scott, I think you should give it a 90. No. I think you should give it a 90.
If you gave it a 90, I gave it 88.
You
should give it a 90.
You want to give it a 90?
No, I don't. Stop. Do. Neither of these are 90 wines, but they're good.
Whatever it
for what they are.
Now on to the first of all. Just so you understand, folks, Parducci got an 88, 88, and 86. However, the Montedeli got an 88, 88. 87. It does win. Italy wins tonight because of my score. 1 point higher. Very close.
What, because of your score? No, your score was low because of my score.
Yes, but the low score was higher for both. This. So the Italian wine does win. The Italian Pinot Noir does beat the Cali Pinot Noir. No, even though it's better Pinot Noir. But that's Becky. Becky caused it. Nevertheless, Becky, what did you feel we would score the Parducci?
I was off. I thought Scott would get an 87 and Rob an 86. So I was off by 1 and 2 points.
Yes, you were.
Off by 3.
Scott.
Cali. I predicted Rob would give it an 88 and Triple B would give it 86.
Very well done, Scott. And I said 87 for Scott and 86 for Becky. Well done, Scott. Now on to the Montedeli.
I did 89 to Scott and 89 to Rob, so I was off by 3 again.
Okay, Scott.
I was salty on Rob's low score because he scored it low, but because I thought he would give it an 89.
Oh.
But I thought Triple B would give it an 88.
Oh. Well, on that one, I kind of fucked the duck on that one. I thought Scott would give it a 90. And I thought Becky would give it an 88. So I got Becky right. I got you off by 2 points. Scott, would you like to do the math to figure out?
I'm the winner.
I was off by 6.
Yeah. Becky was the loser. I'm second place. I think Scott did win.
I am the winner.
Good job, Scott.
As usual. Well, it did.
Congratulations.
Well, and
I'm impressed that you got the Parducci spot on.
Well,
I'm going to keep drinking the Monte.
Holy shit. But I'm going to drink the Parducci, too.
Oh, Scott, we're going to drink both of these.
What?
You're going to sleep on that couch tonight.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
But
drink some port, too. Feel real strong.
Either of you surprised by the quality of these two wines?
I was by both, honestly.
Honestly, yes. Well, I mean, what I was surprised by in the Italian is not necessarily the quality, but the oddball nature of it, and then we all liked it.
Well, this is the first time, though, I think, on any of these country-to-country challenges that we haven't had two booze.
Two good wines.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we had, on the Chardonnay, we had De Altois Foix versus Julian James. And then on the Pinot, we had De Altois Foix versus, I don't know what it was, some sort of Behringer bullshit stuff that still was bad. I mean, De Altois Foix was on these things,
the
man.
The Sauvignon Blanc challenge was fun.
They were gross.
No, the Mason was great.
No, that one. I thought, we did do that one. I thought you meant the Rodney Strong versus the Fry Brothers.
That's a long time ago, son.
I know, we did that one.
I forgot that was a challenge.
270s. Yes. Yes, the Mason versus the, what was it? Oyster Bay. Oyster Bay did very poorly. They represented New Zealand very badly.
Somebody was upset about that.
She did. She suggested, Becky suggested that Scott and I lacked integrity in picking Oyster Bay to represent New Zealand.
I often think you lack integrity.
Oh, son.
Well, I'll just let you know, Becky. I'll just let you know that soon we're going to have another chance of redemption for New Zealand.
We're not going to drink that bottle of Love Block without the Triple B.
Can I just tell you all?
No.
I don't know, to the listeners, I don't know if you all No, like normally I come downstairs for the first episode.
You do?
And then I go upstairs, I go to bed,
and
I
yes.
do a second episode.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much a third. Normally it's only a second.
Cue Russian music.
However, I cannot tell you the number of times that we have had a wine that I have scored accurately. They call it a Russian judge.
Accurately.
And then I'm sure they have a similar wine for the second episode, but they get so carried away that Rob's like, 292s. Another Hall of Fame wine.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened. And I think it's obvious when we do our end of year wine.
Uh-oh. The donjon. She's mad about the donjon.
When we look up there, and I can't hardly even participate.
It's right there.
Because
it was very lovely.
I can't even hardly participate because I've only had maybe two of them. But just about every single, if not night of when Rob wakes me up to tell me, or the first thing the next morning, are you going to ask me about the wines? I'm like, let me guess. Hall of Fame. I don't even need to ask.
Well,
so for a long time, Rob was pulling out shitty wines for the second episode out of guilt.
True.
But for a long time, the philosophy on the wines was the bigger wines went second.
True. It's true. And Becky became very agitated about that.
Well, but so listeners might juxtapose. I wouldn't suggest this. That maybe Triple B needs to participate in the second episode to assure the integrity of the wine guy.
I don't think she wants to do that tonight, but sometimes
I'm just saying.
She might want to be opportunistic and pick and choose when she does that. Tonight will not be that night.
No.
Because we're back to the... We've only aired a couple of these episodes, I think, so far, but we're looking for a drinkable Californian Cabernet that is labeled Californian.
Oh, Lord. Yes,
and we're doing that again. Probably because we had two bottles of Pinot Noir to drink, so why not? But that's true. So tonight, the Monte Delle Angeli Pinot Noir from Piedmont wins. Italy beats California in its own game for Pinot Noir.
Not by much at all. Cali represented. California love.
They represented and still lost. It's a good, but Parducci's a good Pinot. However, Parducci, if you want the Triple B to give you more than 86.
California.
You're such a fucking retard. I'm sorry.
Hey.
Shut up. I apologize for that language. It's not nice. It's not proper. Fucking moron. Shut up. But folks, if you dealt with him, I mean, you just... sometimes you just lose all kind of hope. And you just want to just beat your head against a wall. And I've got several walls here. Some of them are concrete and they would do the job, but
okay.
Instead I said the R word and I shouldn't have. But that's okay. Nevertheless.
No, it's not.
Oh, shut up.
You forgive yourself when you're moving on.
I don't forgive myself. I'm gonna beat myself with a belt later to atone for my sins.
Okay. With one sharp edge?
No. It's very Old Testament. But it works.
Sweet peas and beans.
The Parducci, the Monte Delle Angeli. And the Italian versus Californian Pinot episode.
I think we'd recommend both of these.
We do recommend both of these. If you like Syrah, drink the Monte Delle Angeli. If you like Pinot Noir, drink the Parducci, which lost. I don't think the Pinot file would like that very much. We picked the wine. The wine that doesn't taste like Pinot Noir won because of the Triple B. Point that out. Becky made them lose. So
I can't believe that we did a Pinot Noir challenge and the Pinophile didn't make a presence.
I was on my website trying to sell it. I was on Craigslist. I put my website on Craigslist and I said, what will you give me? I said, OBO. And they say, nobody offered nothing.
Daddy, will you take my picture down, please?
And I said,
my picture down.
I have my dumbass son on there. And I said, you can take him. And they said, I want an ice cream melted Scooby-Doo character for. I said, I don't know.
Well, you like claymation? You put my son on there and you just put his melted face and she clears her throat. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You go. You can't go anywhere. You're in a wheelchair. Where are you going to go? Anyway, so for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and Wheels the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. However, we shall see you next time, unless I'm murdered, here on the Wine Vault. Good night.